broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, President Trump has stood up for America as far as trade is concerned, and he is addressing the trade deficit specifically with China. China is lashing back. Whose side are you on in the trade war with China? John Bowne breaks it down.
You can thank the above-the-law globalist confabs for pushing the world two steps back into the dark ages of totalitarianism. Bilderberg and Davos's star, Chinese President Xi Jinping, has been given a tyrannical lifetime presidency and launched a new corruption agency trampling human rights. Amnesty International writes, under the new system, supervision bodies can detain and interrogate Communist Party members or public sector personnel, virtually anyone working directly or indirectly for the government. Judges, academics, and personnel of state-owned enterprises could all face up to 6 months detention without charge or legal process, and without guaranteed access to lawyers or their families being told. Jinping has already indicated that he will not stand idly by while the United States and Taiwan strengthen their trade partnership. The Wall Street Journal reported China has denounced the Taiwan Travel Act, signed last week by President Donald Trump, which authorizes such visits between the U.S. and the self-ruled island claimed by Beijing as part of its territory. Reuters reports that China's foreign ministry said China considers self-ruled and democratic Taiwan to be a wayward province ineligible for state-to-state relations.
President Trump pointed out that China has massive tariffs, 4 to 5 times what U.S. tariffs are, on our steel, on our automobiles, on our raw materials, on our oil, on everything. And after decades of America surrendering to globalism, he signed an executive order and signed a directive for the World Trade Organization that China can't put a 25% tariff on our cars and we put a 2% on them. That we can't have a 15% corporate tax and they have a zero. That they can't continue to do this and that Europe can't and Japan can't and South Korea can't and everybody else can't. And Trump, in this powerful speech he gave today that I carried live on the radio, he said, I meet with these world leaders and they smile and laugh and can't believe for 50 years the U.S. has done this.
And as if the ground wasn't shaky enough, the man commanding the United States nuclear arsenal, Air Force General John Hyten, alerted the Senate Armed Services Committee to China and Russia's pursuit of hypersonic weapons.
The development of the H-6K nuclear-capable strategic bomber gives China the ability to deploy a nuclear triad for the first time. The addition of road-mobile ICBMs, continued improvements to the Chinese nuclear submarines and associated sea-launched ballistic missiles, MIRV-capable ICBMs, and rapidly developing hypersonic glide vehicle capabilities underscore the evolution of Chinese strategic forces. Our adversaries are building and operate these strategic weapons not as a science experiment, but as a direct threat to the United States of America. We, as a nation, have long desired a world with no or at least fewer nuclear weapons. That is my desire as well. The world, however, has not followed that path. Our adversaries have not reduced the role and salience of nuclear weapons, quite the opposite. They've done just the opposite. And so the only way I can see a change in our futures, if the threat changes, if our adversaries change, and unfortunately, I see no immediate indications of that behavior.
Russian President Vladimir Putin recently bragged of the deployment of a new weapon system.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the full John Bowne report is on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. When we get back, I'm going to talk about the budget that was just signed by Trump. I'll give you my thoughts and we'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Hey.
You know what that buildup sounds like to me today? A $1.3 trillion budget passing, the likes of which we've only seen once before, and that was during the reign of President Hussein Obama. But yet here we are today, and after head faking that he may veto the bill, Trump has indeed signed it. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are wide open on a Friday, so we are going to have open line Friday today. I've got plenty of news to cover, but honestly, nothing that is too urgent that requires me to really delve into it for a full segment or anything like that, so I can pepper it in here and there along with your phone calls during the show. But let's look at the two biggest stories right now as far as what's trending and what's topical. John Bolton as the new national security advisor, McMaster out, Bolton in, and then a $1.3 trillion budget passes today. Trump said he may veto it, doesn't veto it, does sign it, does say it'll never happen again, does seem to be regretful about signing it. However, he did sign it, and don't get me wrong, I'm not off the Trump train here, but I call it as I see it. This is the first time, at least to me, President Trump is playing 4D chess with his base. Normally, the 4D chess is more of a globalist media type thing. With the veto threat and the regretful signing of the bill, it'll never happen before. That, to me, seems like Trump is trying to maintain his base's anger over this bill. Now, there's a lot of interesting aspects to this, because Paul Ryan comes out and tries to balk and say, well, this is only for 6 months. But what does that even mean, really? I mean, think about it. What do you mean it's only for 6 months? So you're going to come back to the drawing board and you're not going to spend as much money? Because every other time you come back to the drawing board, you seem to spend more money. And I saw the perfect analogy for this. Somebody tweeted it out. I don't recall who it was. This is like a husband and a wife who are both in tremendous amounts of debt coming together to the table to figure out how they're going to settle their debt. And they come to the conclusion that they're going to settle their debt by spending more money. And that's what we have today. But it's not just that there's a over $1 trillion budget signed today that Paul Ryan says is only 6 months. So what is that supposed to mean? We're gonna basically cancel this in 6 months? Give me a break. That's lip service. Here's the issue I have with this. We are giving $500 million to Planned Parenthood. That makes me sick. You know how much money Planned Parenthood should have had in this bill? $0. $0. How about zero? Did you catch that? Zero. Can I get a zero? Planned Parenthood, you get nothing. You get nothing. Why does Planned Parenthood, why does Planned Parenthood get $500 million from U.S. taxpayers? If Planned Parenthood was such a charitable and great organization, they wouldn't need $500 million from the government. They could just do marketing campaigns and raise money the old-fashioned way, through donations, through fundraising. You really are helping women? You're really helping women that are in distress, in trouble? Go fundraise for it. Tell people about your helpful campaign. Tell people about your fundraising. Tell people about your practices at Planned Parenthood. Oh, no, you can't do that because you're a murder factory. You're a baby-killing factory. So somehow, some way, and we can point the finger at the Democrats all day long, but the finger should point at the Republicans too, somehow, some way now, Planned Parenthood gets written into our budget. An organization started by Margaret Sanger, who wanted to cull the black population. So then, Democrats promote Black Lives Matter marches. Liberals go on Black Lives Matter marches all across the nation over what? They claim innocent black people being shot by police. We got another story. Again, the guy's not innocent. Should he have been shot dead by police? You can have a fair debate. Is it an innocent black man? No. He was in a foot pursuit. He was running from police in the dark of night, hopping fences. There's video of it. And then you had a Black Lives Matter protest outside of a basketball game, an NBA game. They kept people from going into the arena. So now the Black Lives Matter marchers, much like Antifa, are stopping people. This is a conspiracy against Rice. Do you understand this? I just talked about this at the Austin City Council. This is a conspiracy against rights to block someone entry. That is a conspiracy against their rights. But see, so you've got that. And then I've got Planned Parenthood, started by Margaret Sanger, to cull the black population, gets $500 million from the United States government, and the Democrats love it. And then how many Black Lives Matter marches are there for all the millions of aborted babies that are black? You know how many there have been? Zero. And so not just that, Planned Parenthood gets $500 million. That should make you sick in the budget. I mean, that is just sick. That is sick. This is so absurd. I don't know if this is worse or if this is just as bad or what, but then Congress gives itself a bonus. So now Congress has increased its budget. So now Congress can spend more money. They've increased their budget, but guess what? They've also increased their salaries. You know what? Here's my question for today. We're going to do Open Line Friday, your phone calls, the entire show, we're taking your phone calls. Because I'm not off the Trump train. I still love President Trump. We knew he didn't elect a purist. We knew he's not a purist. And he felt like he had to do this to fund the military and get more support from the military. I think that was Trump's angle. I think the reason why Trump hired John Bolton is because Bolton goes on mainstream news and supports President Trump. So that's what I think are behind these two moves that seem to be more globalist. But the phone number is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. What has Congress done to give itself a bonus? That is today's question. What can Congress possibly do to justify them getting a bonus? That's what I want to hear from the callers today. Can any caller out there make a valid argument that Congress deserves a raise? I can't. What has Congress done? Congress has done nothing. Congress sucks. Congress has the lowest approval rating in its history. The 115th Congress is the lowest rated Congress, except since the 114th rated Congress, which was the worst since the 113th Congress. And now here's Congress giving itself a bonus. For what? For what? So the big topic of conversation today is going to be the budget that Trump just signed, $1.3 trillion, increasing the debt. And then Congress gives itself a bonus? So that's the main question today. What I would love to hear somebody, and I don't expect to get this call, but I'd love to hear somebody call me and tell me what Congress has done to deserve a raise. What has Congress done? What has Paul Ryan done? What has Mitch McConnell done? Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Adam Schiff, all of them. What have any? The only people in Congress that deserve a raise are the Republicans in the Intelligence Committee and the Republicans in the Intelligence Committees on the Senate and the House. No one else has done jack. So your calls today on the budget and why Congress deserves a raise, I can't find a reason. President Trump signs the $1.3 trillion budget. Even he says it's a total disaster. It's a total mess. $500 million going to Planned Parenthood. Not enough money for the wall. Sanctuary cities continue to be funded. I mean, just an absolute nightmare. Oh, there's this other little clause in there that now allows the government to basically loophole around the Fourth Amendment, too, so you don't have any privacy. Yeah, it's all good. It's all just peachy. And then, of course, they don't even have time to read it. It's like trying to read the Bible 100 times in one weekend from cover to cover. It's impossible to do. And then Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi declare it a victory. And doesn't that just tell you everything about the Democrats right now? Doesn't that just tell you everything about Pelosi and Schumer? Of course that's a victory for them because, A, they don't want you to know what's in the bill that was signed. They want you to be ignorant. They want you to be taken advantage of. And they want the baby death factory, murder factory, Planned Parenthood to get $500 million. And the real reason, though, why they're declaring this victory is because they have nothing else to declare victory over. So they're just declaring victory as if they're successful, as if they're accomplishing things in Congress when really they're nothing. They haven't done anything. They suck. Their own constituency doesn't even like them. This is one of the, if not, I don't know if this is the lowest rated Congress or if it was the 114th Congress before this that was the lowest rated. But either way, it's the lowest rated. In fact, the only institution in America that I can see that gets a lower rating than Congress is the mainstream media. And then maybe going to like the DMV or something. But, oh yeah, and then Congress gives itself a bonus. I mean, give me a break giving yourself a bonus, Chuck Schumer. You are such a, I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you're only worth $100 million, girl. Maybe that $100 million is starting to go to her head. Starting to get a little woozy from the fumes. Well, Rand Paul was on Tucker Carlson last night talking about this bill. He's been against it from the get-go. Here he is on Tucker Carlson talking about how the spending bill, well, it just really shouldn't be working.
You talked about border security. I'm flipping through the pages today reading the bill. I find out there is money for border security in Tunisia. In Jordan, we have border security money in the Middle East, but not border security money for the U.S.
So I'm just concluding that the people who run the Republican Party in the House anyway just don't want increased border security.
No, what it is this. It's an unholy alliance. The unholy alliance between Republicans and Democrats is this. Republicans are not fiscally conservative on the military. They want unlimited spending on the military.
Right.
Democrats say, we'll give it to you. We're not really opposed to it. We'll give you the military spending if you give us the domestic spending. So really the unholy alliance, the unholy compromise has been going on for decades is we really actually have too much compromise in Washington. They're always compromising to raise spending and increase the debt.
Really quick.
And so that's what continues to happen. And real quick, because I was thinking about this last night when I was hearing these reports and then Rand Paul highlights how we can't even secure our own border here, but we'll secure the border in Tunisia. You have to wonder what that's about. But then I was thinking, so McMaster's out. He was the former national security advisor. And now John Bolton is in. He's the new national security advisor. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, national security advisor. Okay. What is the role of a national security advisor? Okay. They would advise on national security. Okay. So national security domestically, national security, let's secure our nation. Okay. Yeah. All right. What would like be the biggest priority you would think for national security? What do you think would be issue number one that they would really want to talk about and really want to hammer home? The border. Yeah, that would make sense. National security, let's have a border. Let's make sure that people aren't walking into our country that want to kill us. You know, we're at war with ISIS. We're at war in all these countries in the Middle East, bombing other countries. So we should probably want to protect our borders as a matter of national security to make sure we're safe here. So national security advisor, number one priority, protecting the homeland, having strong border security. How many times did you hear General McMaster address border security? I didn't hear it. Now, John Bolton, the new national security advisor, which I'm neutral on right now. I think he has a checky past, but we'll see what he does in this role. And I think Trump appointed him because he's on television all the time supporting President Trump, defending President Trump. But let's see if the new national security advisor has anything to say about the border, which should be priority number one of any national security advisor, having a strong border, protecting the people in this country. We'll see if John Bolton addresses that. We'll see if he addresses the issue of protecting a Tunisian border, but not a United States border in this latest budget. And it's just, you know, and here he is. In fact, let's go to this clip of Bolton, clip 10, guys. John Bolton addressing the White House leakers, which are rampant. Some leaks, I think, are intended to find a rat. Others, I think, are just leakers. Here's John Bolton, though. Not addressing borders, but addressing leakers.
About any of that. I will say when I read about the leak of the notes and the subject of the conversation, I was outraged by it. I mean, it recalled earlier in the administration when somebody was leaking transcripts of the president's conversations with foreign leaders. It's completely unacceptable. You cannot conduct diplomacy.
Okay, so maybe that's good, guys. So now maybe, you know, Bolton comes in and he tries to do something about these leaks, and maybe that's going to be one of his roles. But again, Bolton, you're the national security advisor. Can you do something about the border problem? Can we have a discussion on the border policy, please? Can we get funding for a border wall if you feel that that is necessary for national security? Somehow the national security advisor has no say on the borders. How does the national security advisor not the number one spokesperson for border control and border security? Just makes no sense to me. That seems like a given. Well, here's the deal, folks. We are supported by you at InfoWarsStore.com, and we've got new products, including the new Super Silver Iodine Infusion Immune Gargle right here. Now, you'll recall yesterday I was using this because I had a burnt tongue. I burnt my tongue on some pizza, and so I sprayed the Super Blue Silver a couple times yesterday, and it's all good today, and that's just the healing power of colloidal silver and nascent iodine, and now combined into one Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. And this is good for topical use, which colloidal silver and nascent iodine has a good use for topically, for cuts and abrasions and stuff like that. And also, where if you used to take the colloidal silver that we have and swallow it, if you're starting to feel an illness coming on or a sore throat, this is just as good for that too. And we bring it to you at an introductory rate of 33% off. 33% off Super Silver Iodine Infusion Immune Gargle at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't forget about the other specials. $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze Air Filter. I'm about to pick up another one of those at that special discount price. And 25% off Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. Your phone calls on the other side of the war room. Don't go anywhere.
Contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/.
All right, I just saw this story coming out of my hometown of St. Louis that they're now planning on setting up 100 cameras, 100 new surveillance cameras around the city of St. Louis to catch people illegally dumping trash. This is a different story I have in my hand here, guys, but this is why I'm talking about it, because I had this story in my stack of news. And I'm not even really sure how to respond to that. A, it's sad that we feel like as a society we have to install surveillance cameras to catch people illegally dumping trash. B, even if you catch someone supposedly with these surveillance cameras to catch illegal trash dumpers, I mean, what are you going to, you're really going to follow up? What are you going to rush to the scene and arrest them, which where now you won't even know where they are? Let me just look at this story one more time. It's on my phone here. I just don't even understand it. In our ongoing efforts to clean up St. Louis, 100 cameras are being deployed by St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department Trash Task Force to catch illegal dumping in lots and alleys. And then they give you a phone number. You can help, blah, blah, blah. Stories on local KSDK in St. Louis. It's a local CBS affiliate. But it's the same thought process that goes through my mind when I saw this story today, and I promise I'm going to go to your phone calls here. So, Chris, Adam, Dave, be ready. But then this story was in the USA Today. World's largest collection of ocean garbage is twice the size of Texas. Now, two things here. One, again, I read this story and I think to myself, I mean, I've never littered in an ocean. I've never littered in a lake. I don't throw trash on the ground. I mean, I really don't. Honestly, I mean, the only time I could think of where I've ever littered is for a short time when I was younger in college, I used to smoke cigarettes. But even then we had, you know, whatever you put the cigarettes into. And I'm just like, okay, I've had sunglasses fall off in lakes. Maybe I've lost a sunglass in the ocean, maybe some flip-flops. But I'm just thinking, like, who actually throws their trash around? Like, who just goes out and throws their trash in the ocean? How does this trash end up in the ocean? Oh, and then you found something interesting. The pile of trash is off the coast of California. Oh, off the coast of California and the Pacific Ocean is a collection of garbage twice the size of Texas. Folks, if you don't think that's connected to the liberal bastion of California, you need to get your head screwed on straight. They've got poop maps in California so that you don't have to step in feces in the streets if you tour there. Go look at the trash that liberals left behind after their marches. This is a story that InfoWars broke after the first woman's march in D.C. in 2017, after Trump's inauguration. All sorts of trash littered the streets after that event, as if the liberal rioting isn't enough. So I'm sitting here asking myself, how do you end up with that much trash in the ocean? Twice the size of Texas is the size of the trash in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California. Is California going to do anything about this? Is California going to address that? Yeah, there's your picture of all of the trash left behind after the Women's March in 2017. Yeah, great work, crew. Yeah. Yeah, just show all the trash. You don't think for one second they aren't littering the beaches of California just like they litter the streets of every city they protest in? Democrats are literally trashing the streets of America. Democrats are literally trashing the ocean. I just think it's sad. And I'm not trying to make a PSA here, folks, but like, here's an idea. Throw your garbage away. Like, is it really that big of a deal? That's how pathetic people are, man. That's how lazy, pathetic people are. They literally just trash the earth and they don't even care. They don't even think twice about it. And that's their overall mentality. They don't value life. They don't value their own life. They don't value a child's life. They probably don't even value animal life. They just pretend. It's all this faux intellectualism, faux virtue signaling. And then they literally trash the streets after a protest. And then you have a trash bank off the state of California that's twice the size of Texas. If you don't think those things are related, you're not thinking. All right, I promise I go to your phone calls. Let's go to Chris in Utah. Wants to talk about the budget. My question today for the callers is, I want the callers to try to convince me anything Congress has done to earn themselves a raise, or if you're like me and you don't think Congress has done anything to earn a raise. Chris, what do you think?
I have four bullet points, so I'm just going to get right to it. But to start off, The first bullet point will be the answer to your question. Okay. If there's a baby in the room and it's crying, what is your natural instinct to do? Go and see what's wrong with the baby. Does it need a bottle? You know what I mean?
Sure, okay.
So I know, so you're asking, well, why do they deserve their bonuses? Why? So here's your answer. These people in Congress are babies, and they need their baba. They need their bottle.
Oh, they need their little binky?
Need their binky. They need their
bottle.
Yeah,
Chuck, you're right. Chuck Schumer needs his binky. You're right. Nancy Pelosi needs her little bottle. Put her to sleep. Mm-hmm.
Yep, so there's the answer. Now, here's the deal. Just like we know with Trump, and I love how you, I'm gonna quote you. You said it earlier. You said, we know he's not a purist. You know we didn't elect a purist. You're right. But part of that is something we need to remember. You need to remember your very own words. He's not a purist. But like the art of the deal, I'm wondering if he's getting his hands a little dirty, making long-term deals with the, you know, swamp. He's playing the long game. He's hedging his bets.
Well, here's the only reasoning I could make in regards to what you're suggesting right now, because believe me, I do look down those angles. The only reasoning I could find here, considering this is an omnibus bill, is he's going to try to sneak in some sort of funding for a wall or for something else in the future. Otherwise, I don't really know how this bill really works for the long term unless he can pull something like that off. Of course, the one angle could be, is he just increasing his support from the military by getting them higher wages and getting them more funding? Go on, Chris.
I also wonder if he's also trying to once again look like he's a deal maker. He wants to reach across both aisles. He, unfortunately, and this goes along with the not purist part, I really think Trump, unfortunately, wants people in the swamp to like him. He wants to make deals. And so I really do. I think he's playing the long game. He's playing the long game. He's making deals now. So in the fourth quarter, when it's time to be reelected, he has earned more respect from the Democrats, from independents, and then he just blows it out of the water once he gets.
Yeah, and he did kind of pin the Democrats on the DACA deal. He's been hitting that hard, and he's kind of landing that back on the Democrats to try to make it look like he wanted to make a deal for DACA, and they totally blew it. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing. We'll have to see, though, as far as a long-term plan is concerned, as far as Trump signing the budget. Thank you for the call, Chris, in Utah. All right, next segment, I promise I'm going to focus on your calls. Jason, Adam, Dave, Jefferson, get ready. You're on the other side. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We'll be right back. You know, it's actually interesting watching the response. I mean, this of all the things that Trump has done that's gotten him in hot water with his base, I think the airstrikes in Syria, I can't even think about the other ones. There's been like four or five where people have wondered what the heck is going on here. Some of the other things that he said, you know, threatening to make the deal with DACA, amnesty for all, other stuff like that. The comments he made about banning firearms and bump stocks, and he'd work with Democrats, and then Dianne Feinstein went into like Wicked Witch of the West mode and was literally like, we'll get the gun. Yeah. So there's always been these moments where Trump has landed himself in hot water with his base. The only time where I was ever fuming over actions from President Trump was when they did the Syrian airstrikes claiming Assad used chemical weapons, which I believe is a false narrative, a false flag. And then it turns out all of the fields and bases abandoned by the Syrian rebels, well, they left tons and tons of chemical weapons. Oh, so it turns out to be the Syrian rebels that John McCain brags about being friends with. Right, okay. And then you look at the airstrikes that we did have in Syria, and it turned out to be more cosmetic, if you will, and not really meant to do much damage. But this bill deal, I mean, people are really upset. And I was just on Twitter during the break kind of looking at some of the comments. But I have to say, why are Trump supporters now, I mean, I'm literally seeing Trump supporters calling for impeachment now. And it's just like, are you insane? Let's say Trump gets an F. Let's say Trump gets an F for the budget bill. Okay, well, look at all the A's he's gotten. Look at all the B's he's gotten. Look at how he's trying to save America. Look at how he's landed under attack, his family under attack. I mean, he's put it all on the line. I love the analogy Alex gave yesterday, just to give us some life support before we die. Yeah, again, just to give us a little wet rag on our towel, a towel on our forehead while they're slashing us to death. And then one bad budget deal gets done, which I agree, I think it's a bad deal. And then I see big, big Trump supporters on Twitter saying, impeach, this is it, he's the worst ever, how could we? Let's not forget who Trump kept out of office. Hillary Clinton. It's like Trump does one thing. This is how short-sighted. This is how the attention deficit has totally taken over. Even conservatives, even people that claim they're woke, red-pilled, what have you. Trump does one thing, and you just throw everything else he's done under the bus as if it didn't happen. He's the worst. How did we elect him? Oh, my God, he's terrible. When it's like, man, you know, you knew Trump wasn't a purist. He didn't really campaign. I mean, he mentioned it, but he didn't camp. His biggest campaign deals weren't cutting into the budgets or the debt. I just don't get it. And I just feel, I don't want to say, it's just like betrayal, you know? It's really just like betrayal. And they'll say, well, Trump is the one that betrayed us. Trump's betraying us. Man, this is, again, you have to look at the overall body of work. Even if this deal gets an F, Trump still gets at least a C or a B overall. Hillary Clinton, you wouldn't even be allowed to give her a grade, because you'd be in the grave. So I just don't get it. And you know what it is, though? Everyone wants to be noticed. Everyone wants to be cutting edge. And so everybody has to come out and be the first one against Trump because of the bad budget. Oh, he's going sour now. I'll be the one in the lead. I'll say Trump's bad first. And then it creates like this snowball effect where you think you're like out on the edge of news now because you think Trump's going sour. And if you report it first, you're breaking the big news. So again, let's wait and see. I don't think this is a good budget deal. I've been complaining about it for almost the whole hour here. But I'm not about to throw Trump overboard as if he isn't still fighting for America. I mean, that's just absurd to me. But let's go back out to the phone lines. We've got Jason calling in from California. First time caller. Glad to have you on, Jason. Do you think that Congress deserves a bonus?
No, Congress does not deserve a bonus whatsoever. And hello, Owen. How are you doing today?
Glad to hear from you. I couldn't agree more. I don't know what Congress has done to deserve a bonus. The only members of Congress that I see working hard that deserve a bonus are the members of the Senate and House Intel committees that are exposing all the DOJ, FBI, Clinton corruption.
Yeah. And one thing, I'm not too happy with this bill, but I don't blame Trump. I blame the Democrats, who are actually tyrants. I just consider the Democratic Party a tyrannical party, period.
Yeah, they are. They're authoritarians.
Control, using kids to push their agenda. I mean, to me, using kids as a wall to push any type of agenda or just as a physical wall, because I serve in the Marine Corps, I consider that to be a cowardly act. I consider them to be cowards. And I believe, and I really see that what the Democrats did, they used a filibuster rule to cheat and kind of put Trump in a corner. So I don't blame Trump.
You know, it's interesting you say that, actually. While I have this thought in my head, it's interesting you say that because Trump did complain about the filibuster rule. He said we need to change the filibuster rule. And he complained about the veto rule where he wished he could do a line-by-line veto, essentially taking a look at each funding aspect of the bill, and you could veto it line by line instead of vetoing the whole bill. And now Ron DeSantis, congressman out of Florida, is talking about writing up rules for a potential line-by-line veto in the future. So maybe there's something they can do about those things in the future, Jason.
Yeah, I'm not totally happy, but I also don't blame Trump. I believe the Democrats really cheated, and by using the filibuster rule, by not giving a lot of people enough time to read the law or read the bill and say, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to pass this. Because I think also in the bill, there's also a law that was put into the bill that would make building the wall illegal. I believe Alex had said it before the war room had started. So,
yeah, in fact, you know what? We've got Alex, who is ready to come on with us now to talk about this. Thank you for the call, Jason. Thank you for your service as well. You know, Alex, we're seeing the news develop and people start to comment on the bill. What's going through your head right now?
Well, I was sitting in my office watching you 5 minutes ago. That's why I walked over here. And you're making the point that I even see it on Drudge. I'm not disagreeing with Drudge. Drudge is just showing people are saying, you know, impeachment, it's over. They've blown the deficit into oblivion. China, the globalists, the EU, they're all inflating everything like Zimbabwe. China's probably got 10 times the real inflation of money printing we do. That's how they bought the majority of our debt, was inflating their debt. So Trump gets, this whole thing's coming down sometime. It's already inflated. The grandkids are already screwed. It's already over. We got to bring emergency industry back. We got to bring optimism, nationalism, and culture back. And sovereignty, and then you can do anything once you have that. We're dead already. It's like Wrath of Khan, where Spock goes in to fix the, you know, the Enterprise, and they go, hey, you know, let him out. Yeah, he's dead already. Look, the dollar, the currency, the inflation, it's already here, folks. And I was one that was all against it and fought it. I've really looked at it. I'm not just siding with Trump here, because I'm critical with him not coming out against vaccines like he said he would other things. But he just did the big tariffs against the you know, the Chinese screwing us over. It's for real. That's why the globalists hate him. And he called it a disaster, a mess. They gave him this big mess. They want to hold the economy up. They know it's on the verge of from lifting off like a rocket to boom, blowing up on the ground. So it's not a perfect call, but we're already so fiat. We're already so gone. We're already so screwed that it's not like we're inflating like Mexico did 10,000% or Zimbabwe 1,000,000,000% or something, or Germany, you know, 10 million percent as they did. And it could lead to that. It, you know, we're going to end up inflating the next probably decade, you know, 20-30%. It's going to be bad. But we're screwed already. And so pragmatically, he's not a dictator. The Democrats did this. They want to hold it up. This is going on. Cutting regulations, cutting taxes, all that's real money back here, real jobs that matter. The dollar, it's blown out. You know, it's like a woman's already had 15 kids and you say, we can't let her get pregnant. She's a virgin. It's already gone. It's already gone. And really pragmatically studying this, Trump understands that he is at least trying to let the bubble build infrastructure and create a new culture to get us online. We were supposed to already implode and bring in world government.
Well, and Alex, I just realized too, Trump,
you come back, but that's the bottom line. Imagine if Hillary was in right now. That's the pragmatic view. That's the facts. And the whole world's waking up, and that's what matters.
And I just realized too, the Democrats are bragging about this as if it's a victory, while Trump is saying it's a disaster. So wouldn't that hurt the Democrats in the primary if it's so bad?
Is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
And our audience continues to grow thanks to you sharing the links, spreading the word, and supporting us at Infowarsstore.com. And then with your support, we're able to go out to the scene of live events all across the nation and bring you live coverage. Of course, we had exclusive coverage of the Austin bombings here locally, where our world headquarters are located in Austin, Texas. It was quite an event to cover personally for myself, talking about bombings happening in the city I live in, not far from my home, interactive bombing maps. Here's a report from John Bound talking about how it had the whole city in fear.
23-year-old Pflugerville, Texas native Mark Condit left no motive. There was no racial hatred. There was no intent of domestic terrorism.
We have at this point located a recording that the suspect in this incident made. It is about a 25-minute recording where he talks about what he has done. I would classify this as a confession. I know everybody is interested in a motive and understanding why he does not at all mention anything about terrorism, nor does he mention anything about hate. But instead, it is the outcry of a very challenged young man talking about challenges in his personal life that led him to this point.
He was simply afflicted, like so many of his generation, with the millennial syndrome, affecting those spoon-fed the big lie by the Bush and Clinton crime families, maladjusted adolescents rocked by the 9/11 nightmare, clutching onto a culture purposefully diluted by the Illuminati stranglehold of their culture and Silicon Valley's experimental social media illusions, then initiated into early adulthood with 8 years of the socialist celebration of victimhood by the CIA-created Manchurian candidate Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah, your head might be a little messed up too. But to terrorize a metropolitan city of 2 million innocent people is an act of cruelty undertaken by a born and raised American citizen that is hard to fathom. In the midst of the bombing rampage, as Austin was gripped with fear, Black caucus members were already jumping to the conclusion that the bombings were racially motivated. Homeland Security Committee ranking member Benny Thompson led the charge. This is the same man who once made this racist jab at Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas saying that he was an Uncle Tom. What did you mean by that?
Well, if you look at his decisions on the court, they have been adverse to the minority community. And the people I represent have a real issue with an African-American not being sensitive to those issues.
Calling him an Uncle Tom, though, isn't that a racially charged term?
For some, it is.
Initially, it was not being ruled out that it could potentially be a hate crime, though, because in the first two cases, they were African-American. In this third case, however, it's a 75-year-old Hispanic female. They are, however, saying everything is on the table.
All three bombings happened on Austin's east side. It's the predominantly minority and historically African-American part of town.
What about a hate crime?
Austin is not only the capital of Texas, it is a dot of deep blue in a state, a sea of red, a very liberal town. There was a lot of attention to this liberal island in the conservative sea that might have had something to do with his choice of targets.
But one thing is for sure right here in Austin, Texas, we won't be divided. We know what went down, and we mourn for the Austinites we lost. And we know we came together as a community to put an end to the millennial bombers' madness. John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
There's the report from John Bound. Again, you can always find those reports and more on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. All right, when I come back, I'm going to go write your phone calls. Adam in New York, Dave in West Virginia, Jefferson, North Carolina, Trevor, Wisconsin, and others on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The March for Our Lives tomorrow, another George Soros Democrat-led event to try to brainwash Americans into thinking differently about guns. Don't take my word for it. Those are Eric Holder's words that we've been playing ad nauseum this week on the War Room show. And so, look at this. Look at this, though. This was amazing. This was a 15-page story. I think it was the New York Times or the Washington Post. I'm not sure, actually. One of those two rags. And one of the subjects inside of this gripping piece, gangs and grudges, targeted shootings far outnumber indiscriminate slaughter. So it goes into it, and it talks about how school shootings are usually thought out and targeted, not just random acts of killing. And so there you go. So that's the first point they make in this section of the report, which is all about school shootings ahead of the March for Our Lives this weekend. And so they say that 64% of school shootings are what they call targeted. That means thought out and planned ahead of time, not just random acts of violence. And then in that same section, they twist it and they make it a racial thing. And they say, even though black students only make up 16% of the school population, they experience school shootings at a 34% clip. So now, hey guys, you pulled up the story. Is this Washington Post or New York Times? I think it's the Washington Post. Thank you. So it's the Washington Post. So now look, if they could provide some sort of reasoning for this and some sort of reason for this statistic, or even some sort of way to make the point that they're trying to make here, which is school shootings are racist against black people. That's what the Washington Post is arguing. That's why they set it up by saying school shootings are targeted. And then their next point is, why is it then that black people that only make up 16% of the school population have to experience a school shooting 34% of the time? So double the rate that they exist in schools. And the Washington Post doesn't go down and do the statistics of where these shootings are going on. The Washington Post doesn't go down the line and look at who's shooting up these schools. And you know that the Washington Post would never, ever, in their right mind, publish the crime statistics that show how much of a portion black people make up of society versus how much of a portion of crime they commit in society. And if they did show you that statistic, they would say that's because of racist police. But so now today, the Washington Post makes the claim that school shootings are racist. Right ahead of the March for Our Lives this weekend nationwide. So now you'll have Black Lives Matter out there too. Mark my words. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Adam in New York. Adam, has Congress done anything to deserve a raise that they gave themselves in this recent budget bill?
Hey, Owen, thanks for taking my call. No, if anything, they should take a pay cut.
Hmm, I like that.
Except for maybe a few people like Trey Gowdy, Devin Nunes, Rand Paul, but everybody
else. Matt Gaetz I would throw in there, too. There have been some good ones. I think Chuck Grassley is doing some good work in his last run. Orrin Hatch as well. I mean, those guys have been around for a long time working hard. So there are some. I don't know if they deserve a raise, per se. But I like that. Yeah, you know what? Congress should actually be taking a pay cut. How about Congress? How about we take $500 million out of Congress's salaries to give to Planned Parenthood? Do you think the Democrats would be okay with that, Andrew? Or excuse me, Adam?
Probably not. You know, they just like to sit there, collect their paycheck, toot their own horn, so.
Yeah, that's funny. I think you're right. I don't think the Democrats would like taking a cut to their own salary to fund Planned Parenthood. I think you're right.
You know, this bill it's not good, but my big question is, with the military spending and the appointment of Bolton, could those two things maybe be related? You know, Trump seemed pretty reticent in his announcement. And so I'm wondering if he knows something that we don't. Is there some sort of coming conflict and he's just kind of stacking a deck, you know, we get into a war.
Well, you know, as far as the specifics that you're getting into, I don't really have a comment on that. I do think, though, that every move Trump makes, I don't think it's a coincidence, essentially, that this move happens right during this bill or right during something else. Maybe it's not the bill. Maybe the bill's a distraction and there's something else. But yes, the move to bring Bolton in now and get rid of McMaster, there's definitely something else behind the scenes that impacted that decision. I don't know if it's the bill or what it is, but I do find that that's the pattern that President Trump has been going on. Yes.
I still want to make two other points really quick. I don't know if you guys saw, but Reddit recently updated their site-wide rules.
They're censoring people now.
Censoring guns and things like that. And the other thing is, with this march, I really feel like it's beyond indoctrinating kids. At this point, they're trying to radicalize them, especially with what we saw yesterday, Laura Loomer break. You know, they don't have their permit, and the teachers are trying to encourage them to break the law.
Yeah, in any sane nation where this is going on, these people are engaging in child abuse. Absolutely. This is psychological abuse of children. Absolutely it is. Yes.
Every time I see a piglet up there, David Hogwash, I get a creepy feeling.
I don't know who that is. I've heard of a David Frog, but I don't know a David Hog. I don't know that name.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know. Creeps me out.
Yeah.
And then my last point about the liberals leaving garbage all over. You know, up here in New York, it's not as bad as California, but you know, I live upstate, and we always get these people from New York City coming up here, and they kind of treat it like their royalty and we're their vassals. And they're, you know,
well, Adam, I don't know where you're from in New York, but you know, in New York City, they literally, they put their trash on the streets. They don't have anywhere else to put it. The trash ends up on the streets because there's nowhere else to put it.
Well, apparently they're starting to bring it up here now because you know, we get these parks and swimming holes and stuff. They've had to close because it's just, you know.
Yeah, no, you know what? There was actually some story about that. Someone was trying to buy New York's trash. It was some wild, wacky story about that. I'm going to have to look into that. Adam, thank you for the call. I'm going to squeeze another call here before the break. Let's go to Dave in West Virginia. Dave, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Hello?
Do you think Congress deserves a raise, Dave?
Owen?
Boy, yeah, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Oh, this is Steve, not Dave.
Okay, Steve. Yes. Steve, do you think Congress deserves a raise? Steve in West Virginia.
Yes, that's right. No, I don't. But they need money to escape from the chaos that they've created, so I know why they need it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how Nancy Pelosi makes over $100 million serving in Congress, but it's not from her salary.
That's a fact. Well, I called in today about this gun control and these marches. Everybody in this nation has been through a disaster of some kind. The first thing the federal government does is take care of the big cities, major highways. The rest of you, we can get to as soon as we can. Just do the best you can until we get to you. Well, just because we're not the least, as soon as we start stockpiling fuel, medicine, food, water, weapons, ammunition, whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly. No. If a big disaster happens, one of the first things that breaks down in society is robberies go up. People start trying to rob you with guns. So, yeah, the government can't get there to help you. Why not have your own guns for protection? Exactly. See, but the Democrats don't want you to be able to fend for yourself. That's the point. They want to run your life.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. I have some other news that I need to get to, but we've had callers waiting, so we'll get to that later. In fact, some of the callers are going to bring some of that up. But let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Jefferson calling in from North Carolina. Jefferson, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
You mean, are you talking about the deep state bailout bill that just got signed?
That would be the one.
You mean the same people were supposed to beg permission, you know, the traitors that were supposed to beg permission to buy a firearm from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking about the people that want to fund Planned Parenthood, a baby death factory. Yeah, I'm talking about the people that have the lowest rating almost of any American institution. Yeah, those people. Do you think they deserve a raise?
Of course not. It's the thing to remember is that there is no long game. We're talking about November. He just, whether we, I'm not even that concerned about this on its face, the bill. The fact is that Trump, as a matter of fact, just fractured his base when he could have been spending a solid year, day after day, dominating the news cycle with the absolute crimes and treason of the other side, taking chess pieces off the board, and yet somehow we're in this position where we're begging to keep the government open. What time of year is it again? Because November is not that far away.
Yeah, and I think it's over. Well, I don't necessarily agree with you there, because I'm not necessarily sure that this even helps the Democrats in the midterms. If anything, this probably would hurt the Democrats, because they're the ones bragging about it, taking pride in it, while Trump is saying it's a disgrace. But the comment you made about Trump's base is what concerns me, because remember what Trump said in his inauguration. This election is about returning the government to the American people. And it seems like by signing this bill, this is Congress running the government again. This is the deep state running the government again. This is the neocons running the government again. The Democrats, the death factory, Planned Parenthood running the government again. Not we the people. We the people didn't want this. And again, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. I'm still on the Trump train, still love Donald Trump, still think he's going to go down as one of the best presidents. But what he did to me signing this bill is he put Congress in front of we the people. He said, today I'm going to appease Congress instead of appease we the people, the Republic, that I said I would give the government back to. That's what it feels like is happening to me today. Now, as far as the future impact on elections, I wouldn't rush to any conclusions about that, because again, Trump is saying it's a disgrace. He's saying it's awful, and the Democrats are bragging about it. So I'm not necessarily sure this helps or hurts Republicans coming up in the midterms, but it certainly looks like, here we go again, the government runs us, not we run the government.
I mean, I think it's time to fold the tent. This thing is completely out of control. This federal government is absolutely criminal. Time to, Trump has not delivered on the main issue that I vote for, and I vote, which is liberty. Okay, where are the indictments? What's going on? Where's the indictment? What's going on here? Anything about that? No. He could line item veto. He cannot sign it. Send it back to him with the stuff marked out. It's a cop out. I don't trust him. I no longer trust that I'm supposed to make excuses for why something's happening. And I'm the biggest Trump fan. I'm just not going to be able to go along when there's clearly something else going on. Well, then level with your base. We're all you have, Trump. We're the only thing you have, buddy. This is it. Everybody else.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct about that, because even if he does make deals with the Democrats, as soon as they get the chance, they'll stab him in the back.
You can't deal with these people. They vote in lockstep. They're not going to be ashamed of this. They want to collapse the country, Cloward and Piven. What would we have gotten different with
but, you know, and again, I think you're very eloquent and clairvoyant here in what you're saying, but it's just like, you know, to me, I mean, dude, it's like you can't even go get a damn driver's license in this country. I mean, that's how big of a joke. I mean, this government is such an effing joke. You can't even go to get a driver's license because it's such a wreck. And then these people want to give the entire healthcare system to the government. And I know that's a separate issue, but I think it's all the same frustration. We are sick of this government. This government takes all of our money and then doesn't even run efficiently or effectively, and it puts non-citizens in front of American citizens. So, yeah, you know what? The whole thing is just a total joke, and we wanted Trump to blow the whole thing up, and he could have vetoed that bill today, which would have been almost, in a sense, pushing down on the TNT and blowing it all up, and he chose not to, and a lot of people are frustrated with that.
I'm watching the guys that are supposed to be deported do the job I used to do literally out my window right now.
So. That's what you get. That's what you get, Jefferson. And I completely agree. This government is out of control. And we're paying all this money, yet the streets are a wreck. Bridges are falling apart at universities. Universities aren't even universities anymore. They're liberal indoctrination centers. $500 million to Planned Parenthood, but I can't even get a damn pothole fixed in a road. Yeah. You know, Jefferson, I feel your frustration, brother. I really feel your frustration. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Trevor calling in from Wisconsin. Trevor, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Actually, it's Tyler in Wisconsin, but that's okay. I probably should just let it roll by.
It's all right. We got a rookie guy taking calls today, so it's all right. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to let it roll by. This isn't, you know, I knew you were talking to me. It's not about me. It's about Congress and why they deserve a raise.
Hey, are we like losing his audio or is that just me? Hey, can you speak into your phone?
Hello, can you hear me?
No, your audio is really light. I'm going to give you one more chance. If you could speak into your phone, we got to let you go.
Oh, no way. Okay, hello, can you hear me?
All right, that's better. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do what everybody else couldn't do. I'm going to tell you why Congress deserves a raise.
Okay.
So, you know, Congress. They're lazy and inefficient,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a Democrat, so yeah, give them more money. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you're right. The Democrats are making sure to destroy this country, keep the open border, fund Planned Parenthood, and as a Democrat, they're doing a really good job destroying the country and funding baby death factories, so you think they deserve a raise.
Yeah, because that's how they think, man. And I think the next thing we really have to get out ahead of, the next big issue, is universal basic income. I think they're going to try to push universal basic income. Like, you know what universal basic income is like? It's like when you go to a birthday party.
Kissing your cousin?
When you go to a birthday party and they give everybody 20 tokens because it's a birthday party. Yeah. Everybody.
Yay.
Yay!
Yay, it's a party. Woo! What happens when I run out of my tokens? Give me more. And then they riot for more tokens, and then there's no tokens left. Yeah, that's a good point, Trevor. A, with the joke, yeah, the Democrats deserve a raise because they're doing what the Democrats do best, destroy America, so I guess they should deserve a raise. And yeah, the universal basic income, they're already trying it out in California. It's just, these are un-American policies. Like, can we just be American, please? I just want to be American.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Roger Stone will be rejoining us on the War Room next week. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are going to be taking more of your phone calls here responding to Trump's signing of the latest bill, which the most egregious part of this bill to me, there are many parts, but the most egregious has to be $500 million to Planned Parenthood. I mean, how in the world does Planned Parenthood squeeze themselves in to a United States government budget? I mean, really think about that, folks. I mean, really think about that. And I got to tell you, as I go on Twitter and I see more responses to this, I read more stories and I hear more callers. I don't know. To me, this is the most damage that has ever been done to Trump while president, and it's been done by Trump. And of course, Trump is the only person that can do damage to Trump because Trump made Trump and we made Trump. And if we feel betrayed by Trump, then we can destroy Trump. And that's not what I want to happen. Not over this bill. But that seems to be where a lot of people are going right now. And it's really bad to see. And I don't know if this is a mismeasurement by Trump or if he's got something else up his sleeve or if he's really just pigeonholed in this deal. But people are really upset. You know what? We don't fund Planned Parenthood. We don't take money from Planned Parenthood. We don't take money from big banks. We only get support from you at InfoWarsStore.com. Brand new product, Super Silver Iodine Infusion Immune Gargle, is available now at InfoWarsStore.com. Introductory rate of 33% off. Now, this is kind of a spin-off, if you will, of the colloidal silver, silver bullet that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. But that is in a liquid form in a dropper, which is really good for swallowing to combat a sore throat or to drink if you're combating an illness that you could feel coming on. But now with the Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle infused with the iodine in a spray bottle, it's even better for topical use, and you can spray it as well and swallow it that way too. So another great product at InfoWarsStore.com. It's 33% off right now. Other deals include 25% off Survival Shield X2 and $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze Air Filter. I just ordered a second one for my home today to take advantage of that special because it's $50 off and I'm not sure how long it's going to last. A 4.9 star review on Alexa Pure Breeze at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, we're going to go back out to your callers. I've got a caller who's actually going to touch on both of these subjects, so I'll just mention them real quickly. Again, you've got the March for Our Lives tomorrow nationwide. Celebrities are donating cash to this, and it's going to be another big one, and it's always an anti-Trump march. I mean, they put all these different names on it. The Woman's March, the March for Our Lives, you know, they'll have a new trendy name for their next one. But it's really all just anti-Trump at the end of the day. And it's meant to create negative emotion and publicity and headlines for Trump. And then they just put different names on it so they don't seem like a one-trick pony, even though that's really all they are. Bank of America sponsors anti-gun panel. So now Bank of America, along with Citigroup, is going anti-gun. So I would say if you are in somebody that uses Bank of America, maybe it's time to transfer your funds to a different bank. Just leave it at that. There are actually big patriot banks out there. I won't say anything else on that, but I'll tell you that there are big banks out there that actually are patriots. Some of them even refused the Obama bailout. And then you've got another ISIS attack in France. An ISIS gunman kills three, injures a dozen others during a supermarket siege in France. 26-year-old Redouan Lakhdim. He ended up getting killed by anti-terror cops in France. So that's just loving Islam that they let in to show how virtuous they are, and then they receive death. I don't know. I like having a strong border. I like vetting people before they come in. That's just me, though. Let's go to Tyler in Canada, who's going to talk about some of those subjects. But first, Tyler, do you believe... All right, well, you know what? You're from Canada, so we'll exempt you from the question. But go ahead with your other topics. Tyler in Canada.
Hey, Owen, how you doing today? Just want to say you're doing great work at InfoWars, and keep on doing what you're doing.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so I just came back from France and Belgium a few weeks ago, and another attack in France today does not shock me because being in Paris and being in Brussels was, quite frankly, scary. It is gone. The hotels I stayed in, we're not in the most affluent areas of Paris, and I've been to the Middle East. It felt like I was in Turkey, and you have stabbings, you have shootings. The no-go zones are real over there. So over in France and over in Belgium, Netherlands, parts of Germany, it's pretty much done. It's like looking into the future, essentially, because
I had friends of mine, they're older than me, and they used to go to Europe, specifically France, sometimes London, but they really enjoyed going to France. In the early 90s, they got married, and they were younger, and they were traveling, and they would always go to France, and they loved France in the early 90s. And then they had kids, and so they didn't vacation as much. They hadn't been to France in some time. And so recently, they decided to go back to France, and they get back, and they're like, oh, and this is not the France that I went to. Like, I didn't even recognize it. And then they were like, you know, we were excited to go back. We hadn't been in a couple decades. It used to be a lovely time. Me and my wife, you know, flashback for us during our younger years in marriage. Now they don't even want to go back. Now they're like, that was awful. I'm not going back there.
It's completely gone. I was in the northern suburbs of in Panton, which is about very close to Saint Denis, which is essentially a no-go zone. And I had to ride north to the convention center every day on the subway line. And it's quite frankly scary. We would not take it at night just because it's actually unsafe to be a white European on the metro line. And the Gare du Nord station, which is like the main station in Paris, is just filled with police and soldiers because there are incidents almost every week. There was six people stabbed the day before I arrived. And I'm like, where am I going? It's incredible. And then our immigration up here in Canada, we have millions pouring in every year and no one gets deported. So the demographics are changing quickly, and we're going to end up in a situation like France or Sweden or Germany very, very soon. It's all so depressing.
Exactly. That's how I feel right now. I'm just depressed thinking about it. And it'd be one thing if you had leaders in France that said, look, we recognize that the Middle East is a hellhole and they can't stop bombing each other. And you know what? Guess what? We might be bombing them too, and we're probably involved in some regime change over there at some point in time and proxy wars and all this stuff. But that's not what they do. They just act like that's not going on, and they just say, oh, we have to take these people into our country. We have to do the right thing. So they're not actually solving any problems. They're just creating more problems.
Exactly. The only hope I have for Europe is Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe will be the new Europe in the next,
You're talking like Poland, Luxembourg?
Yeah, the Visegrad group, the alliance of Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland. They'll be fine. They will still be their own ethnic identities in the next 25, 50, 100 years. The rest of Europe will not be. But can I touch on one more thing just on the gun control?
If you can do it in 20 seconds.
I can, yes. So the march for our lives or whatever, this is how crazy it is in Canada. We have Democrats abroad are sending Canadians to go down there, and our minister up here tabled gun legislation because of the shootings in Florida. It's absolutely ridiculous. Meanwhile, 500 were shot in Toronto last year by gangs. Criminals have guns everywhere. There's shootings, stabbings every day in Toronto. Nothing gets done about that. But for me to get a gun, it's a lot harder now.
All right, so check this out. Yesterday, I covered the story of a man who killed himself by getting his head stuck in a movie theater chair. Okay. Now you've got child sodomized by classmates, assaults recorded on school-issued iPads. So now you've got kindergarten students sodomizing each other, bullying each other over it, and recording it on iPads. Wow. I mean, folks, this is an indication of the mental breakdown of society. It goes on. This is breaking from Portland. Warrington woman arrested for cooking chihuahua in oven. Suspected ex-boyfriend was inside chihuahua. Yeah. So, folks, you want to talk about gun problems? Let's talk about mental health problems, please. Can we please discuss mental health problems before we get to guns? Okay? Because even if you get rid of all the guns and you've still got all these crazies running around, they'll find a knife, they'll get in a car, they'll get a baseball bat. And somehow the liberals can't wrap their head around that. Then you've got man arrested for threatening to murder Virginia congressman. A Virginia Beach man was charged Friday with threatening to murder his local congressman. So that's good. Good, good. Strong mental health here in this country, clearly. And then you've got protest outside Sacramento Kings Arena after Stephon Clark shooting delays NBA game. So again, the story with this is Stephon Clark, he was an unarmed black man. Now, there's video of police pursuing this guy on foot. He's resisting arrest. He's running from police. It's dark. There's multiple angles, body cams, helicopter footage, the whole nine. They got the whole thing. And it gets to a point where the cops are essentially in a standoff with the guy. They think he has a gun, and they shoot him, and he dies. Turns out he didn't have a gun. And now they're trying to claim that he wasn't even the actual suspect, even though they have video of the entire event going down. And so now they all march in the streets saying that this is another example of racist against black people by the police, even though, again, just like Michael Brown, you had a guy who was resisting arrest. You had a guy who broke the law and resisted arrest. Now, I don't want them to die. I wish that there was another way for police to do this. I'm not in the police's shoes, so I'm not going to judge them based on those two stories because it's very ambiguous. However, again, why is it always anti-police and you never even look at what the perpetrator did? Michael Brown strong-armed, battered, and robbed a convenience store. The law in the state of Missouri says you can use deadly force. Again, I'm not for that. I wish Michael Brown would have been apprehended without being killed. Maybe there was another way. Maybe there wasn't. But they march and they act like Mike Brown is some innocent saint when he just robbed and strong-armed a convenience store and then resisted arrest. And now you've got Stephen Clark resists arrest, runs from police in the middle of the night, and then they get scared and shoot him. And can you blame police officers for being scared when they're getting ambushed, attacked, and murdered by people that hate the police, led by voices in the Democrat Party and Barack Hussein Obama? And so then the fake news tells you it's all about racist police and then Black Lives Matter protests in front of an NBA game and doesn't let people in. That's illegal. They should have been arrested. But, you know, again, this stuff happens all the time. It's sad. It's no good. They only make a big deal out of it when it's a black person because they use it to race bait. And it's really sad that that's what news in this country does. And it's even sadder that brainwashed minions fall for it every time because it's their only semblance of feeling a part of something. Really sad. Let's go back out to the phone lines. John in Ohio. John, do you think Congress deserves a raise that they got in this latest bill? Do you think Congress deserves that raise, John?
No, they deserve a cut and some retirement, I do believe.
Okay, so second caller to suggest a pay cut. I think that's fair. Anything else?
And, yes. Patriot seed, the organic seed vault.
The heirloom seed vault?
Yes. My family's still eating on the peppers and cucumbers that we preserved from last year's harvest. They were amazing. They produced exactly the way package said. And we have three more canisters that we're going to plant this year as well. Now, getting that out of the way, Brain Force, I didn't think it was really going to do much for me. But the third day when I bought two of them, boy, I tell you what, I was on focus, on track. It really works, folks. Just try it. And then,
I love when skeptics, your friends of mine, healthy skeptics, you know, they'll say, oh yeah, the Brain Force, really, it works that much. I'm like, hey man, you know, just try it. You know, I'm not going to shove it down your throat. You know, just give it a try. And they always come back and they're like, wow, dude, I love taking this before work. I love on a Monday if I'm feeling, you know, foggy and don't have the energy, I pop, dude, they're like, you were right. It is the real deal. We don't sell you stuff that doesn't work. We know that we are under attack constantly, so we have to sell you the best products. Thank you so much for that plug, John.
It took the third day to actually kick in, but I felt it then. Now, getting all that out of the way, you made my heart tingle when I saw the video of you in the city council. I was so proud of you, Arwen. I was so proud. Hey, you were well-dressed, well-spoken. You got to the point when the beeper went off. You said thank you, and thank you for your time. Home run, grand slam, out of the park, buddy.
Well, thank you so much, John. You know, I've never talked about. Thank you so much for the kind words. You know, I want to be the voice for people out there that feel voiceless. And there's a lot of people out there that believe in the things we say, want to say the things we say, have been thinking the things that we say their entire lives, but have never had the platform to say it, the courage to say it, the ability to say it, whatever you want to say. And so we want to be their voice. We want to be their representation. And that's a lot of what I'm getting people saying from my appearance in city council yesterday. We lost John. Is that John calling back, guys? I didn't know if he wanted to finish that point or not. Hey, huh? Oh, so the rookie guy on the phone's messed up again, didn't he, guys? And he dropped John. Hey, that's all right. All right, thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Dennis in Kentucky. Hey, Dennis, do you think Congress deserves a raise? Did he really just walk away?
No.
Dude, what? Sorry, Dennis. Dealing with some weird stuff in studio today. Go ahead. Do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Not at all. If anything, they better get themselves ready for some jail time.
What do you think about a pay cut?
Pay cut should have been happening about 14 to 20 years ago. I don't even understand how you'd get into Congress and then become a millionaire.
Or a 100 millionaire like Nancy Pelosi. And right. I also saw that Snowden was in the topics on the caller list here. You wanted to talk about Snowden?
Yeah. First and foremost, if anybody is a smoker out there, please go get you a bottle of lung cleanse from InfoWarsStore.com. Please go get you a bottle of lung cleanse if you are a smoker.
Are you a former smoker?
I still smoke, but that lung cleanse killed that cough.
Well, I know that it does, and I know former smokers that say that it helps them kind of kick the habit, too.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm getting up in age. I want to see my kids when they get married and all that. I don't want to die.
Well, good for you. I'm glad that you feel that's helping. Go ahead, Dennis.
All right. How is it that Eric Snowden was able to move around, but Julian Assange was not?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different reasons for that. Snowden, I believe, I'm just trying to rack my memory. He, I believe, had asylum in Russia. Or I'm not even sure if he had an official asylum, but he was essentially hiding in Russia, whereas Assange had some other legal charges against him in Sweden and was basically kind of, again, I don't even know if he had asylum. I'd have to look into that. That's an interesting question, actually. I think there is an answer, but I don't have it. But that is an interesting question, Dennis. That is an interesting question. Anything else?
Think about Apple going to China. Now, put Eric Snowden in the mix of that.
I'm telling what do you mean exactly?
Eric Snowden has the backdoor keys to a lot of things, a lot of different things. He has them with him physically. If China gets a hold of Apple, they are going to pursue Snowden. That's when we...
China's already, I mean, basically got a hold of Apple, and Apple has all the back doors already anyway. So I don't really know if they need Snowden to access the CIA Vault 7 back doors, but that's an interesting point, Dennis. Thank you.
My fellow Americans, let me make this perfectly clear. You're listening to Roger Stone on InfoWars.
One of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too.
It's a site called InfoWars, and it's an interface to the people of the planet awakening to global enslavement.
This is the heart of 1776.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news today.
You're 17, you'll be 18 next month. You online were the victim of a conspiracy video. Attacked by this sort of InfoWars crowd. What was that like?
Victim of a conspiracy video.
Saying Alex Jones, sorry, I don't want to mention his name. When individuals say these things to us, I think it's important for
them to pause it right there. Pause it right there. This is hilarious. Dave Frog here. I've never heard of this guy. This guy's hilarious. Dave Frog. Apparently he's got a potty mouth too, so he sounds like a good liberal in the streets now. See how he slipped up and he was about to say Alex Jones. You're not allowed to say Alex Jones. That's like saying Voldemort. You cannot say Alex Jones because then people will look into Alex Jones and like Alex Jones. So you're not allowed to say his name. So I just want you to understand why he backed off saying that. That's like saying Voldemort. That's a no-go. Let's go back to Dave Frog.
The situation that I don't want to name the name of, but as you said, it's from InfoWars. He shouts a lot. I'll just give you that hint. He looks red. he's advertising many of these things, and the power lies in these advertisers to pull out of these fear-mongering, hate-loving people that just want to spread hate and division in America. For example, on InfoWars, one of the main things that he's, one of his famous things is saying that, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Pardon me? I think you are full of conspiracies, and I don't think that you are helping our country.
Did you know the media misrepresents what I actually say? Like, give me an example of one of my conspiracies.
Come on in. That water is making the frogs gay.
It might look like we're out in a bush somewhere, but 15 feet on either side, we're surrounded by agriculture, and the runoff ends up in this river. All of the algae is a result of all the nutrients, because a lot of fertilizers are used in agriculture. And once those fertilizers get into the water, you get these blooms of algae. Our data so far suggests that the mixture of pesticides causes an increase in stress hormones. And those stress hormones cause immunosuppression, which leads to the inability to respond to any kind of disease pathogen.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay!
It seems that even the tough bullfrog isn't doing so well with the toxins in this water.
InfoWars sucks! InfoWars sucks! InfoWars sucks!
I got a chant going. I got a chant going. What about gay frogs?
It's not funny! I'm gonna say it real slow for you. Frogs!
Hayes is testing the effects of chemicals like atrazine, a common herbicide.
We have a whole family of animals where we've eliminated the female chromosome.
Specimen 01.
These animals that we know are genetic males have been exposed to atrazine for their entire life. And many of these genetic males now are turning into females. And quite frankly, if you're a genetic male, it'd be nice if you developed as a genetic male, and now we have a chemical very common in the environment that's effectively sex-reversing animals.
Now, obviously, it's not fair to judge a guy on one isolated dumbass clip. So here's a bunch of them.
Alex is anti-gay. He's saying the chemicals are making people gay. Folks, it's making the frogs gay. Two-thirds of the frogs down in Houston are bisexual. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay! Serious crap!
Well, initially we found that the larynx or the voice box in exposed males didn't grow properly. And this was an indication that the male hormone testosterone was not being produced at appropriate levels. And eventually we found that not only did...
You know, I gotta say, this is actually hilarious on so many different levels. They say, you're nuts, you think chemicals are making frogs gay, and then there's like dozens of studies. And then... they're basically, it's like they look for the most cucked wusses ever, and then they groom them to be CNN anchors. So I'll lay off David Frog until he's like 25 and on CNN, and he'll be the next Don Lemonhead.
It's Friday, March 23rd, 2018, and there have been multiple studies, scientific studies, citing that chemicals are turning frogs gay, or turning male frogs into female frogs, or adjusting the larynx of frogs, but that chemicals in the water running into the ponds are having an effect on the sexual reproductive organs of frogs. It was then that the leader of the frogs, David Frog, went on mainstream news in defense of the frogs and said, "It's not happening. I'm David Frog. You will listen to me, David Frog, the leader of the frogs. And yes, while I have been chemically affected by atrazine that has maybe affected me, I'm going to pretend it's not happening because my name is David Frog. And there are no gay frogs, and there are no chemicals that turn frogs gay or change their sexual reproductive organs. It's never happened, even though there's multiple scientific studies. But I'm the next leader of CNN, so I need to be very polished and well practiced in fake news." Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We're frying up some frog legs out there. We're going to eat them after the show. They're good to go. Awesome. We've got some frog legs we're cooking. All right, let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Dan calling in from Nova Scotia.
Dan, do you think that Congress deserves a raise here in America?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I just heard, well, the reason I said hi, because I heard it's like a
That may be the sound of you getting connected over the board. I really don't know, but you're on air now, so fire away.
Okay, sorry about that. I ain't going to ask you how you doing, because I know you don't like that. So,
hey, there's a regular listener. It's all right, you know. Nobody's bad.
Yes. I'm older than Alex Jones, man. I'm old. Anyways, to your question you had earlier there, you want to know, I got a four-minute delay on YouTube. I can only get you guys on YouTube on InfoWars Live, and then that's it.
Yeah, we've got a couple satellite channels, Info Planet Wars, InfoWars Live. There's other channels that carry us live. Alex Jones' channel is banned from going live. The War Room channel is banned from going live. So, yeah, they try to marginalize our audience by constantly having to shift where they go to find us. But you can always find us at InfoWars.com/show. So InfoWars.com/show is usually the safest bet.
Okay, so, Owen, you were awesome there. I saw that when you went to the, what was it there?
It was the Austin City Council.
Yeah. That was awesome. I saw it yesterday, and I saw it again today, and man, you were good. You had your point. You made your point come across to them. I don't know if it'll do any good or not, but I just would like to say, Owen, hey, up here in Canada, right, I don't know if you know this or not, but Prime Minister Trudeau, I can't remember. Okay, anyways, get right to the point here. We can't access guns like you guys can, like, in the States. Like, we're not allowed to bear arms and, like, walk around with them. But now there's going to be a bill passed up here in Canada that at any time the RCMP, that's the Rural Canadian Mounted of Police, they can come into your house, even if you're not home, and they can confiscate, take any gun they want, any gun that they define that's not.
Now, hold on a second. Is this legislation that was passed recently?
It's in the Senate of the, you know, they're going to vote on it, same as like.
It's the Canadian Parliament, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you look it up. You'll see it.
Hey, guys, see if you can find that. So I'm just trying to understand. The Canadian Parliament just passed a notion that can allow the government to go door-to-door gun confiscation. Am I hearing you right?
What I'm saying is, Owen, is that Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, okay, he's put it down to, the guy that's in charge of, Department of Defense or whatever here in Canada. Okay. So, he is going to decide, it's not going through a panel or anything like that, he's just going to decide within the next 2-3 days, and then it'll be law. And the law will be, what I read was that the RCMP, the Rural Canadian Mounted of Police, they'll be allowed, like, to go into anyone's home, and any gun that they define is not that you should have, well, they're going to take it. And if they think that any guns you have that are on that list that they have, then they're going to take all your guns. And myself, I don't have any guns, but my father lives probably 2 miles away from me. And he's a hunter. He's like 73 years old. And he's a hunter. And he's got guns.
Well, I would imagine there's a lot of hunters in Canada. There's a lot of forestry out there. I would imagine that your father's not the only hunter.
I'm thinking, like, what are they going to do? Like, you know, if the RCMP goes into my father's house and says, okay, Mr. Rice, we get to take all your guns. I really don't think he's going to stand there and let them do it.
Well, this is, I'm unaware of this. This is news to me. Yeah, what do you think? Well, let me ask you this. I mean, what do you think happens? Let's say that, I know how that would go in America. It wouldn't go well. But how do you think that would go in Canada should the police actually go door to door to try to find and take these firearms?
it wouldn't be good at all. I agree with the well, the Canadian caller that called. You know, I got like probably 4 minutes slag. I'll get you on my TV from the only way I can get you, Owen, and all of us, InfoWars, your show, David Knight, the only way that I can get you is on YouTube, but it's by a guy named Ron Gibson. That guy deserves some credit because that's the only way that I can watch all your shows is from Ron Gibson. I don't know who he is. I've never met him, but he's on YouTube. But back to your question. I mean, I don't know. If they went to my father's house, say, tonight or tomorrow, and said, oh, well, you know, I was CMP, and, you know, my father would be probably, okay, come on in, and they go in. And then if they said to my father, like, okay, we're going to take all your guns.
Well, now, here's the issue, I'm not trying to act like an expert on the deal, but I don't know. I mean, does Canada have a Second Amendment? I mean, I would imagine that they're going to claim law, and then I don't know what defense your father or anyone in Canada would have against that law. I mean, what rights do you have in Canada that protect you from having a government take your firearms? Do you have any?
Well, I think the only right that you would have is, you know, if it's like a law. It's got to be passed. You know, the same is like.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan. Thank you for the call, and we'll continue to maintain that. Wow, I know how that would go in America. Canada, we'll see if it's a different story, but I was unaware that they were on the verge of potentially going door-to-door doing gun confiscation in Canada. Wow. All right, folks. I'll tell you what. We'll come back on the other side and take your calls, but again, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, you just heard Dan talk about how hard it is to find our broadcast now because they're censoring us, they're diverting us, they're trying to make it impossible to find us. That's why we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we get around all of this and build our own platform at InfoWars.com/show so that you can always have us there on our own independent platform in case they erase us from everywhere else, which is what they're trying to do. That's why Dan is having a hard time following us. We do thank the Ron Gibson channel for always having us covered in a live broadcast. But support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Great deals going on. 33% off the Super Silver Iodine Infusion Immune Gargle, $50 off the Alexa Pure Breeze Air Filter, 25% off Nason Iodine X2. Check out the t-shirts, the ball caps, the survival gear, everything at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what keeps us up and running. It's all up to you to keep InfoWars live. Let's go back out to the phone calls and get back to the big story today that is Trump signing the $1.3 trillion budget deal. $500 million goes to Planned Parenthood. Congress gives itself a raise and increases its budget. And Trump's base is very unhappy that he signed this bill. They're feeling betrayed. Is it even possible for a politician to be true to his word all the time? Is it even possible for Trump to make deals with these people that he thinks he's pandering to by signing this bill? I'm not sure, but let's go back out to the phone calls and ask them the question of the day. Eddie in Maryland is up next. Eddie, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Hey, Owen, I would say they do, but with one stipulation. If they agree to take term limits so we can get these career politicians out of Congress, maybe entice some, you know, entrepreneurs that are making money out of the private sector to come into politics and maybe bring their skills like Trump has and, you know, make it worth their while to actually dive into politics. Only those
bring the. I want to pause you right there, Eddie, because Here's what really needs to happen to American politics. And while Trump is a good representation of it, but not the full deal because he's only one man, the change that needs to happen in American politics is a lot of what you're talking about, and term limits could be one way to bring that change. But think about how politics operates right now. How does politics operate? How does one get elected? Well, what is always the biggest thing that they say? Fundraising, money. Well, why is that the case? Why is it money? Why is it fundraising? Why is politics all about getting people to donate to your campaign and fundraising? Why is that the case? Now, the answers are obvious. You need to plan events. You need to buy marketing, advertising, radio ads, whatever have you. But it's gone so far past that. I mean, these campaigns, I mean, the money that Americans spend on campaigns is sick. I mean, it's sick. You want to think about building the infrastructure. Look at all the money we spend on campaigns. Billions of dollars every presidential campaign. Hundreds of millions of dollars on local elections. I mean, that's the problem to me. Is politics is still run by money at every level. Every politician wants you to donate. Every politician has donors. Every politician has to fundraise. Why? Why can't politicians win on a message? Why can't a candidate win on a message? That's what needs to change. We should have politicians and candidates that are strong enough, bold enough, successful enough to win an election with a message and with a policy instead of with a campaigned donation. So, and I know that kind of goes a little bit off of what you're saying, but to me, that is a huge problem. And when you kind of eliminate that aspect of things, maybe term limits naturally come. You don't need to make a law because people who get into politics because they want to help things. Not for whatever other interest. They just want to get in there, help things, and then get back out. But that's not where we are. Now, it's career politicians. It's all about fundraising. It's all about campaign donations. The entire way American politics works needs to be blown up, in my opinion, Eddie. But term limits would be one help. But I don't think that they deserve a raise, even if they agreed to term limits. Go ahead, Eddie.
I was just going to say, you know, it might entice more people that have the message to come out of the private sector that are running good businesses.
Right. Instead of saying, oh, I have to go up against Nancy Pelosi. Okay. No point in trying. She's got all the money. She's been in for 10 years. I can't win.
And if they have a successful company, why would they want to like abandon that like Trump did and just start like working for a, you know, inefficient government that just never gets.
Oh yeah.
Done?
Especially when the media is going to try to destroy you, destroy your life, destroy your family and destroy your business.
Exactly. So that's all I have to say, but keep it up. Good job, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you for the call, Eddie. Let's go to Rob calling in from Chicago. Rob, do you think Congress deserves a pay raise?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'll make my 2 points and then I'll get out of your way because I'll let you comment on them. We could save a lot of money if we cut back on Nancy Pelosi's private jet and her bar bill. And number two, I did want to comment on the gun legislation. All right. I don't know how many people realize this, but the police are under no obligation to protect you as an individual citizen. That's a Supreme Court ruling came down in 1981, Warren et al. Versus the District of Columbia, I believe it was. So anybody wants to give up their guns? Hey, go ahead. But just remember, the police are not going to be there for you. They do not have to be. And even the sheriff down in Florida, he came out and said it.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is not an attack on police because I believe that most police are good people. Of course, you're going to have some bad eggs in there. That's just comes with the territory whenever you have a large congregation of people. But not only, I mean, as far as whatever obligation you want to talk about, I'm going to kind of sidestep that. And I'm going to say they can't protect you. Police are not on the scene everywhere you go, and it takes them at minimum probably 2 minutes to get to you. So it's like, you know, but this is basic logic and basic common sense, Rob. I don't think we can expect an average liberal to comprehend what we're talking about here.
No, not at all. And I don't expect them to.
Anything else, Rob?
No. You guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work. It's a fantastic show. Thank you so much. Thank you and Alex and the rest of the staff for what you do, because I don't know where we'd be without you.
Well, thank you, Rob. We'd be nowhere without you, so thank you. Let's go to Eric in Missouri. Eric, do you think Congress deserves a pay raise?
Oh, I do not believe so. Definitely not.
Anything else, Eric? You called, you think the debt's out of control. This bill signed by Trump doesn't help.
I know. It's just the numbers don't even, you can't, it's hard to put it together in your mind what the debt is nowadays.
Yeah, you know what? Think about it like this. See, this is the thing with me, and I'm sorry to railroad you here, Eric, but it's like this. Play a game with me here real quick. All right, Eric. The American government is $21 trillion in debt. I'm going to try to pay that back. I've got $21 trillion here. Eric, where do I pay my debt off? Who do I pay?
Right. You don't even have, where do you start? You can't.
Yeah, who do I owe all this debt to? $1.3 trillion adds like $170,000 to each taxpayer. Who do I pay these tax? Who do I pay this debt to? Who do we owe this debt to? Can you point me in the right direction here?
I don't know where to go with it. I don't believe we owe the debt, personally.
All right, Eric, let's say that you and I are both $20,000 in debt. We're bankrupt, and we're going to come together to figure out how we're going to deal with this. And we decide to take out another loan for $40,000 apiece. Do you think that would work?
No, probably not. I really don't think so.
Oh, hey, look, this is gifts to the U.S. government. Oh, we can give them a nice gift of cash so that they can flush it down the toilet. Let's get more into this on the other side.
They use their...
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room
with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone.
And Roger Stone will be joining us next week back here, my co-host on The War Room. Before we go back out to the callers, the crew found this for me during the break. The government will actually take a financial gift from you to pay off the debt. If this isn't the most ridiculous, insulting notion I've ever heard, I don't know what is. I mean, besides funding a death factory, Planned Parenthood, $500 million. This is like, oh, hey guys. Hey, does anyone want to donate me some money to pay for my mortgage? Could you guys just donate some money for my mortgage? I mean, come on. I signed a terrible mortgage deal. I'm way overpriced. I'm way overpaying it. Can you please pay for my mortgage? Come on, man. Come on, man. Just pay. Why? What? I just want to get, just gift me some money to pay for my mortgage. Oh, fine, guys. Fine. Maybe the IRS will help me out. But no, this is serious. The Bureau of Fiscal Service gifts to the U.S. government. How do I make a contribution to the U.S. government? Citizens who wish to make a general donation to the U.S. government may send contributions to a specific account called Gifts to the United States. It was established in 1843. Money deposited into this account is for general use by the federal government and can be available for budget needs. So, if you want to send the government some cash that's already robbing you blind, literally bending you over, lifting you up by the feet, just trying to get everything out of you, then, you know, just give them some money. Is that an actual quote? Wishing to express patriotism? Is this even a tax write-off? So the government can just increase the debt nonstop and then ask you for a gift to help them pay off the debt that they created while they rake you over the coals with taxes to pay off the debt they created. For three. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Brian calling in from Washington. Go ahead, Brian. Do you think Congress deserves a raise?
Hey, what's up, Owen? Don't even get me started on all the taxation and all the bull the government pushes on us, all the money they get from us that we don't have, right?
It's unbelievable, man.
Pay, Now they get that pay raise that they're all excited about. The bill that got rushed, that you know the bill that Trump was trying to push, and they're like, oh, it came out overnight. We haven't even got to read it. This is insane.
And then they all signed it. I mean, what exactly? What does that tell you? All of them complained, even Trump. Well, it's too big. There's no time to read it. Well, let's pass it anyway. I mean, what the hell is that? I mean, seriously, man, it's so messed up. I'm still a big fan of Trump, big Trump supporter. I'm not totally thinking that this is the worst thing ever. A lot of people are, but I mean, you got to scratch your head at this deal.
Well, especially when Pelosi and Schumer are celebrating.
You got to understand, Pelosi and Schumer are just declaring victory on this deal because they just want to declare victory. This is not an actual victory for them. And I just want to be clear, because a lot of people are freaking out and thinking that this bill is going to lead to a blue wave in 2018. I don't understand that thought process. I'm sorry. No. The Democrats are praising this bill. Trump is hating this bill. This bill does not help the Democrats. I'm sorry. It might hurt Trump's support, but it does not help the Democrats. You cannot make that connection to me logically. And I've heard the people It doesn't add up.
Didn't they turn down DACA again?
Yeah, they turned down DACA again. So they're losing those people. Like you said, Pelosi and Schumer are celebrating. Everyone hates this bill. They're bragging about it. This hurts the Democrats. This doesn't help anyone. The only person it helps is Rand Paul and some of the other Republican members of Congress that were speaking out about it. So if anything, this helps the Republicans.
All right, and certain things don't get brought up. Just like the shooting in Maryland, a bunch of kids get stopped by a guy with a gun. You don't hear about that.
Oh,
either.
They're going to hear about it tomorrow. Believe you me, my friend.
Oh, I heard something about Q&A, the people that are on 4chan, and it's just something I heard, and I got a message from it saying that in the next few weeks Trump is about to go hardcore, like a bunch of people are supposed to get indicted and the left is going to start war. And like, I guess there's a bunch of high up people that are leaving to their safe places.
Well, we've heard reports. There have been reports, but that's an interesting proposal, considering that could be one way Trump could regain all the momentum that he lost from signing this bill.
Yeah. It's just imagine what they would do if he did. Because look, he fired McCabe. He's dropping people out, hiring new people, and rumor has it a bunch of other people are about to get indicted. Like, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. They're trying to get Sessions to appoint a second special counsel to look into the corruption at the FBI and the DOJ, but Sessions has been silent on that, so who knows. Thank you for the call, Brian. Let's jump over to Travis calling in from Austin here. Go ahead, Travis.
How you doing, Owen?
Doing great.
Owen. All right. Sorry, I couldn't hear you there first. So I just wanted to get into, first off, no, they do not deserve a raise. None of them deserve a raise. The only people who deserve to get paid are people like Rand Paul, Trey Gowdy, you know, people that are actually doing their job. When it comes to the spending bill, everybody just take a deep breath and calm down. Everything is going to be fine. Okay. Because remember, it's like what Alex said when he jumped in earlier on your show. I actually tweeted out the same thing to you guys. This is all fiat currency. I mean, the dollar is a Federal Reserve note. It's a promise to pay. It's nothing more than that.
Yeah. Okay? As soon as you study the fractional reserve banking system, you realize that the entire system is levied on debt. And in fact, half of the currency literally pops out of nowhere. It's literally created out of fresh air. There is no accountability for it. And then you ask, well, who do I pay the debt to? And you're not even allowed to know that.
You're exactly right. I mean, this whole system's crazy. Personally, as Alex hinted at, Trump doing away with the IRS. As we know, the IRS and the Fed, Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation, everybody go look it up. The Federal Reserve are intertwined together. Okay, so if he's going to do away with that, what's he going to do to the Fed? Okay, maybe that's coming in a second term. I don't know. But everybody has such a short-term memory. What was it, a week or two ago when we were talking about Trump with North Korea and how if he makes peace with North Korea, he'll be one of the greatest presidents ever? When is he supposed to meet with him? Next month, right? So what if that happens? Is everybody else going to love him now?
Well, yeah, that's no. You make a fair point as far as the psychological reaction to Trump is concerned. Everybody seems to want to have a knee-jerk reaction to everything he does, instead of waiting and seeing what happens. The difference between this is he actually signed the bill, where before, when he's talking about DACA, he's just talking about it, or talking about gun confiscation, he's just talking about it. This one he actually signed. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to compare everything that's on the horizon here. Thank you so much for the call, Travis. I'd like to keep you longer, but I got to get through some of these other calls. Let's go quickly to O'Brien calling in from Maryland. O'Brien, do you think Congress deserves a raise?
No, not really. But technically, people who tend to work, people who pretty work hard like Rand Paul and the rest of them do, I mean, they're the ones that are working. The other people don't deserve jack squat.
Well, and it shows you how a man of character like Rand Paul really puts the country first and puts his principles first, where he's like, hey, I get a raise in this too. I don't want this bill. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he got a raise from this thing. He didn't want it.
Right. Basically, I think maybe this is just probably, I think a caller said ahead of me, that basically this is all because of some indictments coming down, and basically he's probably going to lose some steam, and he probably knows that, but technically...
Well, I'll tell you what, it would make sense for him to do this and get the negative backlash if he had something huge planned coming up soon. Maybe it's peace with North Korea, maybe it's some indictments, I don't know, but that would make sense. That's a Trumpism. If you upset the base, you come back with something better for him next.